there is love that came for us, humble to us and his cross. You broke my shame and sinfulness. You rose again, victorious. And faithfulness none can deny. Through the storm and through the fire, there is truth that sets me free. Jesus Christ, who lives in me. And you are stronger.
Spending all year discussing community inside these four walls, encouraging one another, spurring one another on in love, as Scripture says, and spring cleaning. Outside the four walls, we've done a chili cook-off because nothing says we love our community like chili. We've had Love Inc. come in and Water for Ishmael with Andy and Katie last week, talking about how we can impact our world. And last month, we shifted from Jesus' first teachings, where he took all the Old Testament and went upside down. He took all the scriptures they knew or thought they knew and changed them around. And that becomes a difficult thing for a dope like me that looks at scripture and goes, nah, that's not the way I see it. And some of my colleagues go, no, you have to see it that way. And I'm like, no, I don't. I actually had that happen this week when I was discussing how I was opening my sermon this week. And he said, don't you dare talk about April Fool's Day. And I'm like, yes, I will dare to talk about April Fool's Day, because somehow I was dishonoring the sacredness of Easter by doing it. But that's coming. We talked and focused on his death, and that is rotten if that's the end of the Jesus story. But nope, He's back. I love the fact, and I've been talking for a long time, that Easter is on April Fool's. So get ready to make notes. I am going to show you some of the great April Fool's jokes that you can pull throughout the week, because come on, let's just celebrate April Fool's Day the way it should be. I want you to look at a slide. The first one I'm going to call Shopping Cart Tornado. I am way too lazy to pull that off. I just want you to know that Shopping Cart Tornado. How about the office alarm? I told you, take notes, Stuart. Take notes. How about Broken Mouse? Some of you are going, I don't know what that is. All right? Because it will not work, but I love that. How about the caramel apple surprise? Where you peel onions. That you know the next time you bite into a caramel apple, you're like, wait a minute. I don't know what I should do with this. How about surprising staff photo? So if your office has staff photos up, surprisingly, that's the goofball in North Korea, right? How about the floorboard warning for the people that come in and tear the carpet out of your house after you sell it? You don't get it. You're like, I don't understand what that is. And then how about this last one? There it is. Fooled ya. I love that one. Do you ever feel like in life you're the one that got pranked by all this God stuff? You got pranked by him. And some dope like me tells you, oh, he's alive. He's amazing. And you go, no, he's not. And then you begin to give me the list of all the stuff that has gone wrong because magic genie Jesus has not appeared and solved all your problems. It's an awful feeling to have when you feel like God is dead. It's even worse when you're someone like me. Now, this is not the case for me, but maybe you've been at this Jesus stuff for a long, long time, and you still feel like God is dead. What do we do with that? I want to show you this morning from the book of Matthew, there is one word that changes that entire dynamic for you, that if this morning you feel like God is dead to you, one word is going to change your entire perspective on it. To find out what that one word is, open your Bibles. Anybody that doesn't have a clue what just happened is like, what is this place? All right, Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. We are so familiar with the Easter story that sometimes we miss all the cool stuff that we don't realize is there. Here's what is tough when we feel like God has gone AWOL. When he's just like, yep, see ya. After the Sabbath, all right, so Saturday, now it's Sunday. At dawn on the first day of the week, and this dumb verse has caused churches to get up at 4 a.m., for centuries to do Easter sunrise services. Not us. At dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, well, there she is again, went to look at the tomb. Here's our two Marys. Do you remember Mary Magdalene? Jesus cast out 7 demons, and as I suggest, means she has an ex-husband, 6 hyperactive kids, 7 demons. Gone. Do not buy into Hollywood, please. Every movie you see about Mary Magdalene has her as a prostitute. Nowhere in Scripture does it record that at all. And believe it or not, I read an article this week on Mary Magdalene where they are making a movie where she simply had 7 demons cast out of her and becomes one of the first followers of Jesus. There you go. My alive God can take all this stuff that haunts you, all the stuff that demonizes you, then he can take it all away. I love that. But then we've got the other Mary. Remember when all of you guys came to spring cleaning? No, you don't. There was like 3 of us here. There was a number of us here that really rocked this place out. And I got to tell you, there were times I saw people cleaning stuff that I went, what are you doing? Now, two things. I'm lazy, and secondly, I'm thinking, why are they doing that? That's grunt work. They'll never be recognized for that. That's the other Mary. All she's ever known as is the other Mary. But she's there. And I love that. So if you've ever felt like, man, I'll never be recognized for nothing, I'm going to start calling you the other, right? So you'll be recognized for something. She is there. She is serving. And look at the verse. Look at verse 1. Do they come to the tomb expecting Jesus to be alive? Other scripture tells us, nope. They came with the spices and the herbs, following the tradition of how to take care of the body after someone's buried. They expect God dead. Is that how you go about your day? Man, God promised you life. He has come to give you a filled life. And you wake up and you just go through the motions of your day and you're trying to be good. You're trying to do the things that God wants you to do or what the church tells you to do. But you know in your heart of hearts, you fully expect God to be dead. It's an awful feeling, especially in this goofball world that we live in. So here's what I want you to know. Verse 2, God is alive. Now there's a lot of stuff here, but man, imagine this actually happening. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone, and then sat on it. I think that's hilarious. Ain't floating, ain't standing there, just sits on the rock. That's kind of cool. Verse 3, his appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards, the Roman guards, were so afraid of him, I would be too, that they shook and became like dead men, right? Like some of you falling asleep during church. The angel said to the women, don't be afraid, right? An earthquake, lightning, shiny. Don't be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. I know you're looking for the dead Jesus. Oh, he is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I've told you. This angel cracks me up. Here is, in verses 5, 6, and 7, the easiest way to experience God being alive. Are you ready? You literally can do these three things every single day to experience God alive when you feel like he's dead. Verse 5, look for him. Be willing to be surprised, though, because sometimes where we think God can be found, he's like, tag, I'm over here. Right? Look for him where he's been. I'm telling you, read the Gospels. I've told you before, I want to preach Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John till the day I die. I love Jesus going, nope, you think you know who God is? No, you don't. And so that's where we look at verse 6. Look for Jesus where he used to be. Read the gospel accounts just to see what Jesus said and how he blew the minds of people that thought they knew God. And listen to other people's stories. Come and ask me how I've experienced Jesus in my life, and I'll go, let me tell you some stories, right? I will humble myself, let you buy me lunch, we'll go out, and I will tell you Jesus stories. Some of them will blow your mind because they still do mine after decades. But then you tell me your story, where he's been. And then verse 7, go and tell others. The more you tell others about your experience with Jesus, the more that you will feel the fact that he is alive. There it is. Three simple things you can do to feel like God is alive. But I want you to notice verses 8 and 9. God is so aware of where you are in this moment. He knows how bad life feels. He knows how wrong everything has gone. I am, 9 days away now from going to Oklahoma City, because that is the vacation capital of the world, right? Ever been to Oklahoma City? I have no idea what I'm getting myself into, but I know that I'm going to walk with my buddy Rob, who I've hiked with, who is 2 years into MS, and it's starting to eat away at him. He, on the other hand, says, if I can't do all this stuff, I can do this. And he thinks I'm going on a bike ride with him when I get out there. Recumbent bikes and all that other stuff. No, Matt, I'm going to get hit by a car. You know it. Because I don't care about the rules. I'll just be like, woo, coasting, bam. I don't know what to do with that. But I'm hoping to have the chance to just hear his story. Because we've texted back and forth like crazy. He has encouraged me with my pain and vice versa. I want to hear his story. And I want to tell him mine. Because in the midst of hopelessness and disease and hurt and pain and chaos, God's alive. But he's also aware of where we are. So verse 8, so the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy. Oh, we are so coming back to that. And ran, I'm not doing that, to tell his disciples. Verse 9, what's the first word? Suddenly. That is so the way that God works. God, where are you? Over here. And suddenly, you're driving to work. God. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said one word. Sup? Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, that's gross, and worshiped him. Look at verse 8. Tell me what being afraid yet filled with joy feels like. What? What is afraid but filled with joy? Is that, May 21st, 1988, when I said, I do. Afraid, but it's like, woohoo! Is that what it feels like? Afraid yet filled with joy. When God suddenly shows up in your life, I hope you're scared. Because it ain't nothing you did, ain't nothing nobody else did. It had nothing to do with you following the rules and God going, oh, you get a gold star today. It has nothing to do with that. It's God showing up where you need him most in the moment that you need him most. And he goes, sup? I love that. That's amazing to me. This world is dumb. And it's getting dumber. We are starting to enter the age in our culture, in America, where finally the false idea of Christianity runs everything society-wise is crumbling. The hypocrisy of that is falling apart. And very, very soon, we're about to experience what other churches in the world face all the time. I think we're going to face persecution like you would not believe. And I got to get you ready for it. I think we're going to face it. This world is dumb. I don't want it that way, but this world is dumb. I'm afraid at times. Adding grandkids to the story makes me afraid at times. Yet I am filled with joy because I'm afraid. I don't know exactly what's going to happen, yet I am filled with joy because God is alive and will show up suddenly right where we need him. What if God's promises are true? What if? What if they're true? What if all this stuff that he said we should do and should not do, if we follow it, we'll find ourselves living a life afraid, yet filled with joy. And here's that one word, greetings. How in the world does that help us out? Verse 9. Hey, just kills me. listen to this. He knows right where you are. He knows that you're afraid. He knows that you have this joy that kind of builds up going, wait a minute, what if it's true? What if it's true that God is alive? What if it's true that my life can be better? What if it's true that He can save my soul? What if it's true? And He knows right what you feel. He knows what you fear. And He knows what you need to hear. One word. Greeting. Greetings. Hey. One word. And they worshiped Him. Let's worship God the same way this morning. I want to call the praise team back up as I read to you verse 10. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my dopey brothers that are hiding. You go, girls. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. You go tell your story. Go tell your story of how Jesus is alive. You go tell your story, and when you do, we will give God all the glory as they did. And it's all because of Jesus that we're alive. Let's stand together and sing our closing song this morning.
I breathe, author of all eternity, giver of every perfect thing, to you be the glory, maker of heaven and of earth, no one can comprehend your worth, king over all the universe, to you be the glory. It's all because of Jesus I'm alive. And it's all because of the blood of Jesus Christ that covers me and raises dead men's alive. And it's all because of Jesus I'm alive. Giver of heaven, every breath I breathe, author of all eternity, giver of every perfect thing, to you be the glory, maker of heaven and of earth, where no one can comprehend your worth, king over all the universe, to you be the glory. I am alive because I'm alive in you. And it's all because of Jesus I'm alive. It's all because the blood of Jesus Christ covers me and He raises dead men's alive. And it's all because of Jesus I'm alive. Oh, that covers me and you raise this dead man's alive.
Easter, everyone. Happy Easter, everyone.